Coming up, the Texas child custody battle. The Court of Appeals says state officials were wrong to take into custody more than 460 children in a polygamous sect. What comes next? And Tom Monahan, the Domino's Pizza billionaire who has now founded a new Catholic university. He calls it a saint factory.
I can't think of anything more important that I could do with my resources.
Plus, a priest who blesses motorcycles at a special mass for bikers. And he's got his own Harley.
Just exhilarating. The sense of freedom. The sense of enjoying the beauty of God's creation.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome. I'm Bob Abernethy. It's good to have you with us. Charitable organizations in the U.S. are reporting a phenomenon they call donor fatigue. Experts say the global food crisis and natural disasters in Asia have overwhelmed potential donors. So far, Americans have given far less to relief efforts to help survivors of the Myanmar cyclone and the Chinese earthquake than they've given after previous overseas calamities. Philanthropic organizations say the weak economy may be discouraging giving, but they also say the drop in contributions fits a pattern of what happens when Americans are faced simultaneously with more than one faraway tragedy. Meanwhile, aid groups say the needs remain urgent. In Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, there are 2.5 million survivors who need help. But aid workers may soon have more access to them after United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon met with leaders of the military dictatorship and said the government has pledged to allow all aid workers into the country. In China, a 3-day mourning period for the victims of the earthquake. More than 80,000 people are dead or missing. And international relief workers have joined a massive Chinese government and volunteer effort to help the millions left homeless. In Iraq, the U.S. military apologized for the actions of a soldier who used a Koran for target practice. Officials asked tribal leaders for forgiveness. Iraqis found the Koran riddled with bullets and with graffiti scrawled on its pages. The military said the soldier, who also apologized, has been disciplined and removed from duty in Iraq. In London, the British Parliament agreed to allow researchers to use hybrid embryos, embryos that combine animal eggs and human DNA. The vote came after a lengthy public debate over the research that supporters say may lead to medical breakthroughs. The Catholic Church has been one of the staunchest opponents. Church officials called it a, quote, monstrous attack on human rights. In the U.S., the creation of hybrid embryos is allowed but cannot receive public funding. In Texas, the Court of Appeals this week said state officials were wrong, did not have enough evidence to justify removing more than 400 children from the compound of a polygamous sect. The state had done this last month and dispersed the children to foster homes. Some of the mothers then sued to get their children back. Wade Goodwin has been covering the story for National Public Radio, and he joins us now from Dallas. Wade, welcome. Why did the Texas judge think officials had to take all the children away from their parents?
Well, because the state brought forward evidence that it claimed that they had numerous underage pregnant teens or underage teens who had already given birth a few multiple times. And they said that they believe there was widespread sexual abuse in this at this ranch, and the judge agreed and seized all the children.
Mm-hmm. And then what did the Court of Appeals say?
The Court of Appeals said, not so fast, Judge Barbara Walther. The Court of Appeals did not believe that the state had proven that each individual child was in immediate danger of physical abuse, and the Court of Appeals said unless the state can prove that, the children have got to go back to the mothers.
And so are they going back now? Will they go back now?
Maybe. The Texas Child Protective Services is going to appeal to the Texas Supreme Court. They have evidence of underage pregnant teens. I think they're going to want to try that evidence in a different court. And while that happens, I think the children will stay with the state.
Do the authorities know in all cases which children belong to which parents?
I think mostly they do. It has been difficult for the state to find out who belongs to whom. There's been resistance by the mothers and fathers and children of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the state has done DNA testing, the court has done DNA testing, and that will come back in about 2 to 3 weeks. But by that time, it may be a moot point if all the children are back with their parents by then.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wade, polygamy is against the law. Why didn't the state just shut the whole place down?
Well, it is against the law. It's a felony in Texas. But it seems that state officials in Utah, Arizona, and now in Texas are reluctant to prosecute for polygamy. Sexual abuse of an underage teen is another issue. But there seems to be a general feeling of live and let live among consenting adults, because if the state wanted, I think they probably could bring charges. Those are just charges that are hard to prove in court when no one wants to testify.
Mm. What have you been hearing around from people you talk to in the community? What do they say and think about what's going on?
Well, you hear everything. People are on all sides of this issue. It does not break down neatly into political lines. Conservatives feel both way about it. Liberals feel both way about it. I think men in general tend to side more with the state seeing it that the state has been too aggressive. Women tend to be more concerned about the child's sexual abuse, but even inside of that, though, that doesn't break down into neat groups anyway.
Mm-hmm. Wade Goodwin of NPR News, many thanks. We have a story today from Southwest Florida about a new town and a new university, both named Ave Maria, and both founded by Tom Monahan, a rich man who says his mission in life now is to help turn out men and women who will be faithful and effective Catholics. Monahan also founded Domino's Pizza, but he says his Saint Factory, as he calls the university, is more important than selling pizzas and making money. Phil Jones reports.
What was once tomato-growing farmland in Southwest Florida has grown into something dramatically different. A 100-foot-tall, $24 million house of worship has risen, the centerpiece for a new town with a population goal of 25,000 and a new university, Ave Maria, the dream of a very rich man, Tom Monahan, who wants to produce more than diplomas.
We don't want to be a diploma factory. We want to be a saint factory.
Monahan's Saint Factory offers a rigorous liberal arts curriculum, including a doctoral program in theology. Its goal? To create the next generation of Catholic leaders. Enrollment now is fewer than 500. He wants 5,000 in 20 years. Who is Tom Monahan? Well, he's as close to being a self-made man as any mortal can be. His father was a truck driver who died before Monahan was five. Monahan ended up in a series of foster homes and an orphanage. He dreamed of becoming a priest one day, or a ball player, or an architect. Instead, he ended up selling pizzas and became a billionaire.
In the orphanage, I kept saying to myself, why'd my daddy have to die? Why'd my daddy have to die?
For a poor boy who lived on a farm and went to school with manure on his shoes, life would get better, much better. Monahan turned one pizza shop in Michigan into the nationwide Domino's brand with 5,000 stores. He says he took pride in having his own jet, helicopter, luxury cars, and big house. Then one day, he saw through his pride.
Pride's a source of all sins, and I figure I must be the biggest sinner in the world because I certainly got a lot of pride, a lot of ego.
Monahan is no longer on anyone's list of richest men. In the past decade, he says he's committed at least $400 million to Catholic higher education. Monahan gives his own money and raises more, claiming to have more than 40,000 donors. And at fundraisers, he talks about his big vision.
So fasten your seatbelts. I don't want anybody to get whiplash here. And we're going to go fast forward to 2077. We'll probably have over 2,500 priests, and not just ordinary priests, good priests. A lot of those priests are going to become bishops. We're going to have about 2,000 sisters that come out of Ave Maria. And how about this one? 45,000 great Catholic marriages.
There are three masses a day on campus, five on Sundays. Underage drinking is forbidden, so is premarital sex. Students live in single-sex dormitories.
Everyone thinks, oh, it's Ave Maria, you know, it's real close, it's like a bubble, you know. You're not supposed, you know, we don't do anything, everybody's all homeschooled and religious. There's normal people here.
We have the foundation in faith here that I very much find important for me in my life. It's good to come here and to find the real truth, get grounded in that, and then go out and see what the world has to say.
But what about academic freedom? Research, learning, teaching, free inquiry, no matter where it leads. Ave Maria's mission statement says it is to be an institution of Catholic higher education that will be faithful to the magisterium being the teaching authority of the Church, the bishops, and ultimately the Pope. But it's not clear who has final authority over what is taught, the faculty, the local bishop, or Tom Monahan.
The bishop has a final say on things to do with the liturgy and with the theology that's taught here, and the spiritual leadership of our students, of our faculty, and of our staff. He doesn't have responsibility for the academics.
It remains to be seen just what academic freedom will mean at Ave Maria. The relationship between the university and the local bishop has been an uneasy one. For months, Mass could not be said in this house of worship because Bishop Frank DeWayne had not consecrated it as a church. He finally came this spring, dedicating it as a quasi-parish, where the sacraments can be performed, but not as a full parish with a pastor.
There were, I think, surprises along the way for the officials of the university when I said, you know, the church has to do it this way.
Who has the authority over this church right now? Does the church, Mr. Monahan, I mean, who is in charge?
In the town of Ave Maria, there are Catholic schools for kindergarten through high school. Non-Catholic public schools are coming. Some stores are open, but the sluggish economy has caused delays. Although there is not a pharmacy yet, there had been controversy when Monahan said the town drugstore would not be allowed to sell contraceptives. He's now backed away from that.
I never saw this as an exclusively Catholic town. I wanted to the extent I could, make it family-oriented. No massage parlors, no adult bookstores, pornography, or things like that. That would be, in my mind, anti-family.
The housing bust has slowed residential development. Only a few hundred homes have been built. The town's private developer insists it will be independent of both the church and Tom Monahan.
The community will be whatever the residents and the people who live here determine that they want for their community. I mean, that's not something I can't impose my views on 25,000 people.
I can see whether they still have that available.
Jean Rush, who has opened a women's fashion boutique, says she's not been told what she can or can't sell.
I have short shorts, I have tank tops, I have sheer tops. We're all happy people enjoying the fruits of what Tom Monahan inspired us to do in our lives.
Monahan plans to move the Ave Maria Law School, now in Michigan, to this Florida campus. But some faculty members have taken Monahan to court, alleging he reneged on a promise never to relocate. The university is awaiting accreditation, and the bishop has yet to declare it a Catholic university. Observers say Ave Maria's biggest challenge will come when Monahan, who is 71, passes on or runs out of money.
At that point, the question will be, is it attracting enough students? Is it financially capable of succession once Tom Monahan passes from the scene? Is it going to be able to attract the quality of faculty over the long term? And in his particular model, will the surrounding community that he has developed retain the character that it has at the time that it's first inhabited?
Let us pray.
A recent survey of U.S. Catholics found that no more than 12% support so-called hardcore traditional conservative Catholicism. But that's still a lot of Catholics, and many of them, like Tom Monahan, are committed.
I can't think of anything more important that I could do with my resources, with the experience that God gave me in the 38 years of fairly intensive business experience, to use it for something that's a lot more important than selling pizzas or making money.
Monahan says that for him, the most important thing in life has always been to be a good Catholic.
I don't want any legacy. I don't even think about that. I just want to get a small air conditioning unit when I get into purgatory, if I get there.
Tom Monahan describes his personal story as rags to riches to rags. The question yet to be answered, will Ave Maria eventually turn out to be the promised land he dreams of? For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Phil Jones, Ave Maria, Florida.
The Internal Revenue Service has concluded that the United Church of Christ did not violate U.S. tax laws when Barack Obama addressed the denomination's 50th anniversary gathering last June. After an investigation, the IRS said Obama's speech was not political campaigning that would jeopardize the denomination's tax-exempt status. The IRS also said a California Southern Baptist pastor's endorsement of former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee was personal and did not endanger his church's nonprofit status. Meanwhile, Obama was back in a religious setting this week. He visited a synagogue in Boca Raton, Florida, where he tried to address Jewish concerns about his foreign policy positions, especially regarding Israel. Also this week, John McCain rejected the endorsement of two religious leaders. Texas megachurch pastor John Hagee had already apologized for statements he'd made about Catholics. Then audio surfaced of him suggesting that the Holocaust was part of God's will to help the Jews establish the State of Israel. Hagee said those statements were misconstrued. McCain also rejected the endorsement of Ohio pastor Rod Parsley for comments he made about Islam. The worldwide Anglican Communion has been on the brink of schism for years over issues surrounding homosexuality. And U.S. Episcopal leaders this week admitted an important meeting this summer will likely not offer any official solutions to the crisis. In a break with the past, the Lambeth Conference, a once-every-decade gathering of global bishops, will not hold any votes or issue any resolutions on controversial issues. Instead, U.S. leaders said the meeting will feature small group discussions.
It's a global conversation. It's not going to legislate. It's not going to make final decisions about anything.
This Memorial Day weekend, as happens each year, 500,000 motorcycle riders are expected in Washington, D.C. from all over the country. They call the event Rolling Thunder. The bikers will parade in honor of Americans who have died in war or are missing or have been prisoners of war. Earlier this month, in preparation for the riding season, several thousand bikers descended on Paterson, New Jersey, to have their bikes blessed by a Catholic priest who's also a biker and who ministers to all those who ride. Lucky Severson was there, too.
They come to downtown Paterson, New Jersey, year after year, the first Sunday of May, to this special motorcycle mass to get their bikes blessed. It's a diverse bunch from all walks of life, some rough and tough, some you might not expect. Gloria Tremonton Strutt, for instance, 83 years old, is the longest-serving member of the Motor Maids Women Riders.
They think everybody's a Hell's Angel. I'm a great-grandmother. I go to church every Sunday.
This year, as many as 2,000 bikers from all over the Northeast showed up, and like Johnny M. and Johnny B., they take the blessing very seriously.
Getting your bike blessed, is that important?
Very important.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, you got to have God on your side, you know?
The Mass is conducted by the man who started this tradition 39 years ago when Richard Nixon was president. That's him, Father Mark Giordani, gliding in on his Harley-Davidson Road King. As far as they're concerned, he's one of them, but with much better connections.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us as we kick off the riding season. Father, be with us as we experience the thrill of the open road and the marvel of the motorcycle.
Many who attend Father Mark's bike blessing don't attend church regularly or at all.
But, you know, they read the Bible, they say their own prayers, and they offer prayers for those who are sick. So there is a special connection with God in their own unique way. I mean, what does God really want from us? A loving, humble heart. So uncomplicated.
The altar is on a flatbed truck parked between the Patterson County Jail and the St. John the Baptist Cathedral, where Father Giordani is now the rector. He's from Italy, and when he first came here, he graduated from a Vespa motor scooter to his beloved Harley.
Just exhilarating. The sense of freedom. The sense of enjoying the beauty of God's creation. It's just such a powerful and magnificent gift for me.
For the bikers, Father Mark's gift is a blessing he gives. David Beauvais is a believer.
I got blessed last year, and a week later, I had another motorcycle that I didn't have blessed, so I crashed. And tomorrow's going to be my first day back to work after a year, after getting run over.
Now you're blessed.
After the Mass and Communion, Father Mark gets down to the business of blessing humble bikes as well as those that make a lot of noise.
How you doing?
81-year-old Frank Brown Sr. is not a Catholic, but it doesn't matter.
I go to all churches, you know, and if when the holy water hit me, it's all right with me, too. In fact, I move in a little closer so I can get a dash.
Sometimes they ask for a double blessing. I say, well, you've been blessed already, and they want more holy water.
I thought you were pretty liberal with that holy water today.
There's a bucket.
When he first arrived in Patterson, he asked to be assigned to the poorest parish. Today, his congregation has grown to 3,000, the majority Hispanic. He's also the chaplain of the county prison, the Patterson Police and Sheriff's Office, and 10 days before 9/11, he became the chaplain of the New York, New Jersey Port Authority. And then there's his motorcycle mission, which reaches people who sometimes feel unwelcome at church.
We're ostracized just for our hobby, our mode of transportation. And it's nice to be in a group of people that kind of look like me, and we all have the same mindset.
Like Bruce Hazelman, riding for 40 years.
Bikers aren't bad people. They're just normal people that have a hobby and want to ride the motorcycle.
Nobody loves to ride more than the biker priest, and it's pretty clear that his hog belongs to an unusual rider.
So you've got the whole story of Christ on the foundation of your Harley-Davidson.
That's right. We have the nativity, we have the crucifixion, and the resurrection, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit on the tank, which branches out to the saddlebags.
Is this what Jesus would drive?
I think if he were physically present here on earth today, definitely, this would be his choice.
Hard to imagine this machine would be an evangelical tool, but he says it has an impressive record.
It really is.
Like the time he came across another biker in Nova Scotia who asked if he could confess.
And then he ended up saying, it's the most beautiful day of my life. I never felt such freedom, such peace in my heart. Why did I carry this garbage all these years? Why didn't I make a connection with God before?
Father Giordani says he has been blessed by his association with bikers. The time, for example, 10 years ago when he was diagnosed with a rare tongue cancer. One biker set up an altar in his garage to pray for Father Mark's healing.
God, he says, you know, I don't know why Father Mark is sick. He works for you. I could see me being sick, but you know, I learned so much about you from Father Mark. and have taught others about you through him. I never asked a favor from you in the past. Never. And I promise you, I'll never ask a favor from you in the future. Oh, God, I only ask you one thing, that you heal him, that you make him well. Because if you don't do it, you are history.
And the rest is history. Father Mark's cancer has been in remission for several years. God willing, he'll be back for another blessing next year, and so will the bikers. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Lucky Severson in Paterson, New Jersey.
That's our program for now. I'm Bob Abernethy. There's much more on our website, including more about religion and politics on our One Nation page. Audio and video podcasts of the program are also available. Join us at pbs.org. As we leave you this Memorial Day weekend, scenes from Arlington National Cemetery, where soldiers placed flags at more than 260,000 graves.